In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. So last week, we talked about the intersection, the collision of heaven and earth, of God and creation, that happened at the gate of the city of Nain, when Jesus raises a boy from the dead. And we said that this collision, this intersection, this God reaching his divine hand into creation was not a one-time thing, but happens daily in our human lives. But we also noted that we don't always notice the divine hand. We don't always notice this intersection of heaven and earth. So this week, I'd like to talk about why we fail to see and to experience the divine in our life on those occasions. And the parable of the sower is the explanation that Jesus gives us of why we sometimes fail to see his divine hand. So this farmer, this sower in the story is Christ. But the seed is also Christ. The seed is also Christ. It says the seed is the word of God. Now the word of God is not a thing. It's not an object, but a person. The word of God is a person. The word of God is the person of Jesus Christ. So when Christ sows seed, it's saying that he's giving himself to the world. He's giving of himself to creation. He's coming into the world and he's coming into your life with the gift of grace. And notice Christ gives himself to everyone, to those who listen and receive him, and to those who don't, to those who won't. He loves them all equally and he gives himself to all equally. Now the seed that falls on the road represents those who hear Christ, but they pay no attention. They neither care nor believe, and as a result, the seed of life doesn't grow in them. And they don't or won't recognize the power of God coming into their life. Now, the next two groups probably cover the vast majority of us strugglers when we don't see or recognize the hand of God in our lives daily. The reasons are most likely found in these next two groups: the seeds that fall among the rocks and the seeds that fall among the thorns. The Savior tells us that the seed among the rocks is those who believe with joy, but they have no root. They believe for a while, but in the time of temptation or in the time of test, they fall away. The seed among the thorns also represents those who believe for a while, but they have a different reason to turn from God. For these folks, the cares of riches and pleasures of life cause them to fall away. Now, a person might ask, well, what's the real difference between the seed among the rocks and the thorns? They sound the same, really. I mean, the end result is equal. And in one sense, they are the same. Both groups are those who receive Christ, who believe in Christ for a while, but then stumble, but then give up. But the difference is why they stumble. Why they stumble. Those among the rocks lose their faith, lose their zeal, lose their energy because of being tested, because of trials, because of bad things happening. And that's a truly tragic, but unfortunately a common occurrence. When times get tough, there is this human reaction to withdraw, to question our faith, to accuse God, to blame everyone but ourselves. And eventually, that road leads to drying up and dwindling, just like the seed in that story. You know, we did an exercise in youth group about this parable a couple of Wednesdays ago and asked, what kind of difficulties can challenge a person's faith or dedication to the Spirit of God? And these kids came up with a lot of insightful answers. I wrote them down so I could share them with you. The answers they gave, these difficulties, included a death, bullying, mental health struggles, poverty, natural disasters, accidents, and sicknesses. It's very insightful. These kids, fifth grade through ninth grade, very insightful. When one's faith is not deeply rooted, bad events, which can stretch into years sometimes, can be very challenging to one's faith, to one's receiving of Christ. Now, the flip side of the seed among the rocks is the seed that falls among the thorns. If the rocks are the bad things that challenge one's faith, the thorns are the good things that challenge one's faith. And now a person might immediately ask, how can good things challenge our faith? Well, really, it's that subtle lure away from a dedication to God. When enough good things, when enough material blessings come our way, we start to get comfortable. Don't we? We start to get a little entitled. We get spiritually lazy. We coast until we kind of grind to a halt. We start to cherish the gift more than we cherish the giver. I think of all the riches and pleasures that choke our ability or our willingness to receive Christ. There's comfort, there's possessions, there's status, inane stuff on social media and YouTube, there's food and beverages, recreation, sleep, work, sports, you name it, all of a sudden you can start this really long list of all these things that choke our ability and willingness to receive Christ. Here's a simple example that came up in our youth group discussion. One of the kids came up with this one. They says, it's like you go to a party or a reception on Saturday night and then are too tired, and you can define that word tired any way you want, you're too tired to attend liturgy the next morning. You know, one's willingness or ability to receive Christ has been choked by a party in that case. These are middle school kids coming up with these answers. Notice none of the pleasures mentioned are bad in themselves. They're not bad things. Recreation and food and work and parties are good in themselves. They're good in themselves. But notice also how precisely Jesus spoke. He said the thorns were our cares for those things, our cares for the pleasures and riches in life, not the pleasures and riches themselves. Our cares for them lead us to desire the gifts more than we care about the giver. It's when your heart leaks over into the things themselves that it's no longer able to receive Christ, the Word of God. So who then can produce the fruits of the kingdom of heaven, the fruits of the Spirit? This week is the 13th anniversary of the passing of Maddie Fall, 13 years ago this week. And I think those of us trying to overcome both the rocks and thorns in life can stand in awe of this little girl. In spite of all the extra love and praise and attention and care and dedicated aides and doting family and a doting priest and a head of hair to die for, you know, all these blessings that she received in her life, they never distracted her from the love of God that was so obvious when she was in this holy house. And of course, on the flip side, all the rocks in her life, the handicaps, the hospitalizations, the procedures, the uphill climb, never extinguished the love and the joy and the peace that she shared with the world and with the people around her. And I'm not going to be so proud as to say if Maddie can do it, I can. If Maddie can do it, so can I. That would be a little prideful. But I will say, by God's grace and by Maddie's prayers and witness, we can at least strive. We can at least strive to not let our own pains or our own pleasures distract us from the love of God or blind us to the hand of Christ touching our life daily. I mean, Maddie represents the good soil in whom the fruit of the Spirit can be produced 100-fold no matter what's going on in her life. Now, we began by asking why we sometimes or maybe often fail to see the hand of God in our life on a daily basis. Well, the answer is in this parable of the sower. To the extent we fail to see the hand of God, to the extent we fail to produce the fruits of the Holy Spirit, well, to that extent we are allowing either our care for the pleasures of life or our many pains and griefs and trials to clog and choke our faith. Thankfully, as long as we're breathing, it's not too late to change. It's not too late to change. To the extent that we clear our hearts of these things and focus on the one who truly matters, on the one who gives life, on the one who is himself the giver, to that extent, we will not only see the hand of God, but we will bear the fruits of Spirit 100-fold. Amen.